When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant! That is... Schoolboy's own stuff.
And still Ricky Villa. What a fantastic run. He scored.
Guys, and welcome back to The Last Word on Spurs. As you should know by now, you should be able to follow the show across a variety of different platforms. We are on Twitter at Last Word on Spurs. You can also find us on Facebook and also not forgetting Instagram. I am pleased to say back on the show we've got Jason McGovern. Jason, how are you?
Oh, I've had an absolutely wonderful weekend, mate. Couldn't have been better.
Still surviving.
Absolutely guess. Thrilled.
Oh dear.
Yeah, marvellous time it was. Party weekend all weekend.
Oh god, I bet it was. Shots all round, Jason.
Yeah, not a good one. Not a good one.
Not a good one. Well, we've got two debutants to hopefully get us through tonight. I'm pleased to say first up, we've got the Apprentice winner, founder of Raw Talent and huge Spurs fan, Lee McQueen, joining us. Lee, how are you?
Ricky, boys, how are you? Yeah, good, thank you.
Good, good. I think we're just surviving about, Lee. We're going to check with the panel in a second. And finally, also joining us, last but not least, another debutant tonight, we've got Tom Mitch joining us, a huge Spurs fan and singer-songwriter. Tom, how are you coping?
Hi, Ricky. Yeah, just about over it now, I think. It wasn't great, was it?
No,
but, it wasn't. We move on.
Yeah, we move on. And thankfully, we have got a game this evening to look forward to, so we can move on pretty quickly. But unfortunately, it doesn't stop us from having to discuss the game. Jace, let's start with you then. I mean, from my perspective, I mean, I can accept that we won't win every game. But, I mean, what I find really hard, Jace, is even, you know, with a couple of days to reflect on it, is that, you know, didn't turn up, completely bullied, outplayed and outfought. I mean, it's impossible to try and justify that performance, Jace. Can you?
Well, it's very difficult to justify it, but what we don't know, and it's hard to, I don't want to find excuses and things, but, you know, we had three players obviously pull out from England duty, we had Hugo pull out of French duty, there's no Toby, there's no Wanyama, and you know, Dembele came back, Dembele looked good on the ball, but his mobility around the pitch was poor. I don't know whether it was a case of we got out-fought and out-bullied, or we just weren't capable of putting up a fight and bullying. I mean, you know, you see Kane with that thigh strapped. He's certainly not wearing that as a fashion accessory, is he?
No, not
so
definitely.
You instantly look at him and think he's probably unlikely to be able to press and chase around as he usually does. And then, you know, Winks isn't fit even then to start the game. And I think it's just an accumulation that, you know, once you've got three or four players that are all struggling to compete, you will be then, you know, getting to the ball half a yard, half a second behind the time you want to do it, and that will have a knock-on effect through the team, and you will eventually, particularly the later the game goes, start to get overrun. So it's really difficult, but we don't know the exact fitness of those players. No. And I understand that some people will say, well, if they were past fit to play, then they should be fit. And if they weren't fit, then you should have picked somebody else. But quite what type of team we'd have put out if there was no Dembele, no Winks, no Kane, no Dele Alli, no Hugo, no Wanyama, no Lamella, no Rose. I mean, I don't think you're going to turn up there with five kids from the under-19 side. So, you know, I give them the benefit of the doubt, but on the day it wasn't good enough, that's for sure. And whether it was down to fitness or it was down to just literally being out fault, whichever way it wasn't the ideal scenario, that's for sure.
No, it wasn't. I mean, Lee, bringing it round to you, I mean, normally with Pochettino teams going into London derbies, commitment and effort, that's almost a given, Lee. Do you just think maybe that the hype before the game, a lot about us going in as favourites, do you think that may have played a part in it in terms of that poor performance?
You know what, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think it might have, you know. Mm. I think that, you know, I heard Graham Souness on Sky previous to the game, and he was talking about he's got a sneaky feeling for Arsenal because of that exact reason.
Yeah.
And it was just something just slightly different. I mean, I agree with a lot of what you just said, but I'll be honest with you, it's painful. They were just better than us. Mm. You know what? We had a bad day at the office. I think Kane definitely isn't fit. Like you said, with the strapping on there. I mean, that whole pressing game starts from the front with Pochettino. Mm. And when it was a little bit like having Vincent Janssen, bless his cotton socks, up front, because he can't run, can he? He's like got concrete boots on. So it was a little bit like having him in up front when last season when he was playing for us, and we didn't have that intensity. And Kane might have been 50% or 60% fit or whatever. And I think that was part of the problem. The hype, like you say, we choked, and you know what, it was like old Tottenham, and that's why I think we're all so disappointed, because it was like old Tottenham.
Yeah, I mean, Lee, did you feel in terms of the game at any point we were going to get back into it and we did concede? I mean, the only concern for me is, Lee, I mean, they did really set the agenda in the first 10-15 minutes. You just think, you know, normally we do we do try and find a way to respond in terms of maybe changing the formation, which we didn't do.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just bizarre, wasn't it? It's really, really bizarre.
Yeah, I've read Pochettino's book recently. I don't know if any of you lads have read it, but it's highly recommended if you haven't.
Yep.
And he talks about in one particular game last season, he changed the formation five times in one game, you know, to fit in and tactically change. Didn't see any of that at the weekend. It was almost like everybody was flat. It wasn't just like Kane and Alli. I mean, Alli was on a... He was on a plane with George Mendes, wasn't he? You know, it's like, do you know what I mean? He's a completely different player.
Yeah.
I think that the team talk, I think Arsene Wenger's team talk was done via Sky Sports in all the media press in the run up to the week. I mean, the amount of Tottenham 11 mixed 11 with Arsenal 11s was all over the media.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, I've never seen anything like it in my life. So, you know, I think half the team talk was already done. I think there was a fitness issue, as Jace already talked about. And no, I don't, to answer your question. I didn't see us getting back in that game. I just didn't. Having said that, actually, weirdly enough, I think we had the best two chances in the first half. And, you know, as soon as they scored two so quick, I just didn't see it.
Yeah, I mean, it completely flattened us, didn't it? I mean, bringing you in, Tom, tell us then, what's your post-mortem of this one? Because it's still hard to kind of come to terms with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just to echo what both Jason and Lee have said, I think the fitness it was evident that we had so many players on the periphery, and this is like one of those games where you just really you want to see energy and you want to see people getting stuck in, you know, and if we're not going to play out of our skins, we at least want to see a bit of fight, and we didn't really see any of that. And I think what really kind of, I mean, it was a bad day at the office, but what really kind of got to me about it was, you know, when we played Arsenal last game at White Hart Lane last season, we were laughing at them at how bad they were and how little fight they put up in that game. It almost felt like a bit of a hollow victory for us, in that it was just such an easy kind of 2-0 where they provided no threat. Saturday, it was the other way around. It was we just didn't show up. We never, other than you know, like Lee said, we had a couple of decent chances, and Son could have put one away at the end as well. But we did not look like we were up for it, and that was what was most kind of disappointing.
Why do you think that was, Tom? Because I had a couple of questions here from Soccer Souls, Yuvo, Jani and Ilias. They all seem to echo the same thing as what went wrong. What do you think, Tom? Was it, like we've discussed already, the pre-match hype? Or is it more to that? Is it the fitness, those two elements of it?
I mean, I'd like to think that our players aren't going to be affected by that kind of hype, but they're only human. I mean, I think Poch has built a great bunch of lads. He's built a fantastic unit, and it seems like they are just, you know, they don't come across as weak-willed, the type to get influenced by, you know, the kind of reports and the kind of I don't think they're the type to believe their own hype in the way that, as Lee was saying, in the build-up to the game, the press were just or certain elements of the press were really kind of, it was quite uncomfortable really how much they were building us up
to it
and how
kind of combination teams where Spurs had the majority in there. It just, I mean, like you said, I don't think that helped the situation.
Exactly.
I mean, Jay, you want to bring it back around to you?
I think just on that, Rick. I mean, it's contradictory, isn't it? Some people will say that he was a bit too complacent and arrogant, and that we believed in the hype too much. But then apparently our away record is so poor because we have a mental weakness.
Well, hold on, if you're
arrogant and extremely confident, then that means you don't have a mental weakness and you're not frightened of playing these big away games. Yeah. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. Either we've got a mental weakness or we are too arrogant and we think we're going to win. Mm. But you can't have it both ways.
You can't. I promise you, we are going to come on to the record in a bit with regards to Poch against the so-called top six and his away record in general. We are going to cover that. But Jason, going back to the team very quickly, I mean, when the team was announced, you know, Lloris, Dele Alli and Kane were all deemed fit enough to start. We had Winks on the bench as Dembele returned to the heart of the midfield. Davies and Trippier were the preferred fullbacks. Rose not in the squad. Walker Peters on the bench instead. I mean, Winks on Llorente were all decent options to call upon. Jason, when you saw the team, what was your initial thoughts? Were you happy with the 11 selected?
Yeah, I think, you know, probably my two in midfield at that stage would have been Dembele and Winks rather than Moussa Sissoko. But other than that, and, you know, Moussa Sissoko, I thought, had a decent enough game. So, no, I think, you know, from what we knew going into the game, that was pretty much the side that I would have picked for sure. I said I'd have preferred to see Davies and Trippier than Rose and Aurier. So, you know, that was really the only selection dilemma for me, that who would he go with in the fullback positions. But, yeah, I was quite comfortable with the side. And whilst I still would have, you know, I still at the moment might prefer us to go 4-2-3-1. The back three has been so successful, so I understand why he's got that system working. So yeah, there was no real complaint going into the game at all with the side.
Do you understand Lee's point very quickly, Jace, that, you know, he, like you said, he refers to Pochettino's book without giving Balago on this podcast, and, you know, we had that chat with him about Pochettino in general. You know, Lee made that point that, you know, he changed the formation five times within one game, and in this game, you know, even though you could clearly see in that first 10, 15 minutes, it wasn't going our way, something had to be done. It didn't seem like, Jace, we had the kind of, we were looking to change it at all. Is that a concern?
I don't know. Maybe that is, you know, or whether he just didn't think that he had the options or whatever to work it, and Arsenal were too strong for us. I mean, they kept getting down that left-hand side, didn't they, between Davies and Vertonghen.
Well, yeah.
And we've not really been exposed down that side. But, you know, were they getting down that channel because Dembele just couldn't get across to block the passes and things like that? And so, you know, he certainly didn't look fit. And what are you going to do, make two or three substitutions inside 20 minutes when you can see players haven't necessarily got that intensity? Very, very difficult. Very difficult.
It is. I mean, Lee, bringing it round to you, Chifari Fighter at Carbon Robert asks us, very simple, when a Tottenham player is going to be able to handle the pressure and expectations, season in, season out, we tend to crumble as soon as that pressure comes. Is that a fair question, Lee? Would you agree with that?
I think it's a question that needs to be answered. I think it deserves an answer. Mm. Fair question, as in terms of being crumble. I mean, I think, look, emotions running high about us crumbling against the Arsenal and so on and so forth. Mm. Let's just have a look at some facts, right? Mm. So we went into the game against Chelsea when we were in the two seasons ago. We were 2-0 up and we started to play the occasion. We didn't play the match. We were 2-0 up. We could have gone 3-0 up, but from memory, I think it was off the top of my head, I think it was Lamella that could have scored and made it 3-0. I think it was Ryan Mason, actually. And we didn't get attacked. We ended up drawing, everyone knows what happened, ended up drawing 2-2, the wheels fell off, all of that sort of stuff, you know? And that was that mental thing. Into context, you know, we went to West Ham, we've done it again last season. and the season before, lost 1-0 and the title challenge kind of faltered there. But put it into context, we've got the youngest side in the Premier League.
Yeah,
like, you know, while I'm fighting it, the youngest side in Premier League. And Jace, you made a brilliant point earlier about, you know, putting in the under-19s. He probably would, to be fair, Poch. He probably would fire through him. He probably already has. Mm. So the point, I think the point is that, you know, it's only experience in any life, in any walk of life that you're in, whether it's sport and business or whatever, it's only having that experience of failing or not being as good as what you want to be that actually makes you better. That's the only way to make you better. So I'm optimistic by nature, and I do believe, having read Poch's book and understand his mentality, I do think, and I'll say this now on your podcast, I think we will win the Premier League. I don't think it will be this year, but I do think that we'll win the Premier League. I think that things, that mentality piece, you have to go through how to deal with that. And so you have to go through the bad times in order to be able to come through them the next time around. Does that make sense? That's experience, isn't it?
Do you think, though, Lee, realistically,
I think as well, just...
Go on. Come on, Jess, very quick, go on. Respond
back. Just on Rick, I think, you know, it's unfair to say we always crumble. Because, last year, we were chasing the title down, and we won 12 of our last 13. Chelsea came to White Hart Lane, didn't they, last year, chasing a Premier League, 14th straight win. I think we were 10 points behind them. Everyone said, well, this is it. This is Tottenham have to win this game. We were by far the better side, beat them 2-0. So, you know, again, we didn't crumble. No. We had the Arsenal game, which was straight on the back of West Ham last year, where everyone said, now this is the chance, you know, can you confirm you'll finish above them? We won that game. So I accept we've crumbled more often than we haven't, but it's not fair to say we always crumble at all.
No, I agree.
Again, and just on that as well, I do agree. I mean, again, thinking about, some, you know, we went to Newcastle last game of the season against it when we... faltered against Leicester and we lost 5-1, and that really hurt Pochettino and the team, and he was thinking about that the whole time over the summer. And then last season when we went and faced a already relegated side, Hull, away, exactly the same scenario, we smashed them 7-1. So, you know, again, I do agree with Jace, we don't always crumble. Again, you've got to go through them times to get the experience to get over the hurdle the next time.
I agree. I hope that's answered your question, Chiari. I want to bring you in, Tom. So, in that first half in particular, Jason's alluded to it already, we looked very vulnerable in that gap between Jan Vertonghen and Ben Davies. Can you explain that at all, Tom? Because, you know, this season, these two guys, Davies and Vertonghen, they've probably been two of the most consistent performers for Spurs, either on the road or, you know, playing at Wembley.
Yeah, they have, and I think that was one of the most frustrating elements of that first half, as you say. But I mean, I equally think that, you know, Dembele's lack of mobility, you know, perhaps Dier not being in front of them, and certainly, you know, just not having that real control of the midfield did leave them exposed at times. And I don't think it's fair to pinpoint the two of them as a main source of. There's a main source of the problem there. I think it was, you know, as Lee and Jace were just saying, I think it is a bit frustrating that we do, yeah, when we get called out for crumbling all the time, because that is just forgetting about all the good results we do have when we're back up against it.
And also, Tom, very quickly, I mean, we have to remember Chelsea last season, they went on this unprecedented about 14-15 game winning run. Have the point we choked it, because to go on that kind of run, you have to say, it's very hard if a team's going on that kind of run to stop a team winning the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, equally, like, when Chelsea came to play, you know, when Chelsea came to White Hart Lane last season, they gave a pretty toothless performance. They didn't look all that. They didn't really seem to put up much of a fight. And they still went on to win the league. I just think Saturday was a bad day at the office. And, you know, just like when we beat Real Madrid, we weren't the best team in the world. We're not the worst team in the world just because we've lost to Arsenal. It's just a bit of perspective needed. And, you know, it was really, really depressing, don't get me wrong. But I think, you know, Poch will turn it around. He'll pick him up. And, you know, and I just think we just need to wait until the players are a bit fitter again before we cast any judgments on choking or whatnot. I just think it's just been such a busy time lately. And, you know, we don't have the money. We don't have the same squad that City and co have. And, you know, and we really miss Harry Winks. We really missed him. And I don't know. I'm still optimistic. I was disappointed, but I'm not going to.
I just think to interject you there, Tom, if I may, I just think that, know, with such a young squad, you know, you come up with some of the stats, you know, we can talk about stats and, you know, some of the guys that are the Man City fans, United fans, Arsenal fans, whatever, they listen to me talking about stats and just laugh because we still haven't won anything and all this stuff. But the reality is, we have the best defensive in the Premier League over the last two seasons, probably not so much now. I mean, this time last season, we were unbeaten. So, you know, where does that go? We were unbeaten after 12 games last year, but we were only 1 point better off than this year. I mean, again, Tom, like Tom just said, put it into perspective, into context. We're not rubbish because we beat Real Madrid. We're not Champions League because we beat Real Madrid, and we're not rubbish because we lost to Arsenal. The reality is we had a bad day at the office, and we had players that weren't fit enough in that area, and we've got to write off and move on.
Yeah, I hate to say, Lee, to bring in refereeing decisions, but this first goal, I mean, listen, number
great
one...
Great tackle.
This is again, Tommy, they say great tackle, but, I mean, Lee, great tackle, gets called up for a free kick, that wasn't a free kick, then it's marginally offside. I mean, it's a damn bit of luck to go against us there, isn't it, Lee, for that first one?
It totally is.
We've got to defend it better at the same time.
Yeah, I can't talk about refereeing decisions because we weren't good enough on the day.
No.
Like it would make me sick to the stomach of talking about refereeing decisions when we weren't good enough. But what I will say about that incident, you know, I thought Davinson Sanchez was absolutely outstanding the whole match. And actually, there was no way that was a foul. And I'm still baffled as to why he wasn't included in the Man United squad, because his until Saturday, his record was played 11, won 9, drawn 2. So he was actually unbeaten in a Spurs shirt.
Yeah, that's it. Very, very hard to fault. Jace, like Lee mentions there, I mean, very, very hard to talk about referee decisions when we defend that first goal so poorly. I mean, what was your thoughts on the opener, Jace?
Well, you always fear when you know you've got done with a corner that shouldn't be a corner or a free kick that should be a free kick. I think you're always instantly start fearing the worst, don't you? But you're right, you know, you have to defend it better. They got in between Dier and Vertonghen, and it actually became almost like a free header for Mustafi, didn't it? And you know, could Hugo would a fully fit Hugo have got enough spring to get across? Even then, you know, I'm not blaming Hugo for the goal at all. You don't know, do you? I mean, he obviously had his problems, and like I say, what we do know with Hugo is his agility and spring. He's fantastic. Look at the save he made from that Coutinho effort at Wembley. When he turned that, you know, that fantastic save there, didn't he? But, you know, he kind of just stood and watched it go, didn't he, without even really trying to get across to it. And it was a looping header. It wasn't as if it had gone in with great power or anything like that. So, you know, did he have the spring?
Go on,
Jace, I think you make a really good point there about Lloris and is there a risk if he's not fit? Because previously, if you remember, guys, Paolo, our third choice goalkeeper, Cazzaghini,
Gazza.
I guess that's what he's called, Gazza, he's an absolute blinder against Crystal Palace. I mean, literally, one of the best debuts I've seen from a goalkeeper.
Mm. And they
so he could have really been knocking on the door if Lloris weren't fit.
It's an argument, isn't it? It's such a hard one. I mean, definitely agree with you. He grew into that game. I mean, coming round to you, Tom, you know, discuss that first goal, but the second one, again, it's an argument, isn't it? Because if Hugo is fully fit, does he come out and approach Sanchez for the ball? Because you just felt like, you know, he's a little bit hesitant coming off his line. What do you think, Tom?
I agree with you. I mean, I think I think the whole defence looked hesitant there, and Hugo just wasn't his commanding self for either of the goals, to be honest. It happened in slow motion. I mean,
horrible, wasn't it? Yeah. It did take an eternity, that the way it kind of stumbled across that second goal. It was a horrible, horrible goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not one we're used to seeing us concede either.
Straight away as well, isn't it, Tom? It's the fact that, you know, so quick we concede the second one. That's just so on Tottenham-like nowadays. Yeah. You know, that doesn't happen with Pochettino teams normally.
It wasn't quite up there with the Fabregas one a few years ago.
Oh, don't.
But yeah, it was. It wasn't pleasant. And then, like you say, as after that goal went in, I just didn't see us coming back. We were chatting about, come on, Spirit of 2010, 2-0 down at half time. Come on,
yeah, this is it. It's 7 years. I think.
Yeah, 7 years to the day. I got a reminder on Facebook earlier, I think, after my... but yeah, we never looked like we had that spark. And I think, obviously, that day we had a fully fit Gareth Bale to not win in after halftime and kind of G everyone up. And just no one looked like they were up for it on Saturday. No one looked fit enough. No one looked like they had the drive to pull us back in after that second goal went in. And it was just very frustrating.
It was. Let's throw in a couple of questions then. So, Tom, sticking with you. This is from Jamie Gross at Jamie Gross. He says, do we miss the physical presence of a Wanyama or Dier in the midfield to break up play and take pressure off the defence? Dier moving back to centre-back has left a gap in central midfield that neither Dembele, Winks or Sissoko can fill, in his opinion. What do you make of that, Jamie? Oh, what do you make of that? Sorry, Tom, should I say?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think Dier's had a great season. I think, you know, the way he slotted back into central defence against Madrid when Toby went off was outstanding. But as the guys have said, that lack of mobility and fitness in the middle on Saturday, I just think it cost us dear. It just left us exposed. I think Dier's a better. I still see him as a midfielder rather than the centre back, and I think the way he protects the defence is so understated but so important. And without him in that position, Sissoko's not going to do the same job. And I just think it was a game where yeah, I mean, that kind of game, a derby like that is made for someone like Wanyama or Dier to kind of just own the midfield. And yeah, we all remember that picture of Dier looking down at Giroud
with
absolute disgust from a couple of years ago. And we just never, we just didn't have that presence in the midfield. And I think that's where it all stemmed from. It just is so important, that central pivot, and it just wasn't working.
No, it wasn't. I mean, I think the only guy really, I think we've said in this pod, Jace, you mentioned it earlier about Sissoko, we did have a good game. I think the only other guy really that can come out of any shred of credibility was Davinson Sanchez. He was great on the day. I mean, very, very unlucky with the first goal. We've already spoken about that. But Jace, question here, and a very good one. I mean, this is from Alex Reddick, who says, what do you guys think about Dele Alli? Now, I'm going to give everyone a chance to have a chat about Dele. Yes, Madrid was brilliant, but never got into the game on Saturday. Now, you know, I have to be careful what I say with this, because from my perspective, I don't know if I'm judging a player that, Jace, you mentioned it, he may not be fully fit, but I just also worry, Jason. Lee also mentioned at the start of the show that this talk of a super agent, is it going to his head? Does he need to be thinking about this right now mid-season, Jace? Or is that, you know, too easy to throw in on the back of a defeat where he hasn't played well?
I think it's a little bit too easy to throw in. You know, he may well be thinking about things like that off the pitch, but do I really think he walked across the line on Saturday and when the referee blew the whistle at kickoff, his first thought was, oh, I wonder how much I'm going to get paid next week. Yeah. Or, you know, should I go with George Mendes, or should I go with Mina Raiola, or should I use Auntie Jane from across the road? And, you know, I think once the game starts, Rick, I think all those types of things get levelled at you when the result's gone against you. But he had those same dilemmas with his agent when he was outstanding against Real Madrid. And because he wins, and the same against Liverpool, where he was exceptional, wasn't it, against Liverpool? This is a bloke who's 21 years old. And, yep, you know, so, like any 21-year-old player, they'll have their good times and they'll have a dip in form. And we've definitely had a dip in form from him this year. He's definitely not at the consistent level he is, but he's 21-year-old. And I think some of the criticism he took online and people saying, can't wait to get rid of him and things like that is absolute madness.
I think you said before, Jason, I mean, the day we want to sell Dele Alli, it's going to be a very sad day.
Exactly. And you know, Harry Winks, for instance, he's emerged this year and he's deserved all the praise he's got this year. But he's just emerging as a first-team player. And people need to understand, Harry Winks is older than Dele Alli. Dele Alli's become an established player. And, I mean, you know, as I said last year, the amount of things that Dele Alli has done for us. I mean, he scores both the Madrid goals, scores against Liverpool this year, scored both the goals in the Chelsea win last year, scored the goal in the semi-final last year against Chelsea, scored the key goal against Arsenal in the home game last year. Mm. He's got more goals for Tottenham at his age than any other player in the club's history has done by his age, and people want to sell him. No, I mean, dear.
We don't deserve nice things, do we?
You know, it doesn't defend his performance Saturday. He missed the game against Palace through injury. He missed the England squad through injury. So, was he fully fit? We don't know, but it doesn't excuse his performance Saturday. But, you know, people need to get it in perspective about Dele Alli, that's for sure, without trying to get rid of him and write him off as he's too flash and too money-grabbing. Yeah. The irony is, those that say we should sell him because he's obviously being distracted, as soon as he goes, they'll accuse him of being a snake. can't have it both
can't
ways.
Win. You can't win.
You can't win.
Lee, bringing you in, do we have to remember, Lee, it's, at the risk of repeating myself on the show, which we do every week, it is still his third full Premier League season, Lee. You know, we have to be maybe realistic that he's not going to be on it, you know, 100% every single game. And like Jason said, and we've all said, he may very well have been carrying an injury as well on Saturday.
I cannot, words are failing me how much I agree with Jason, what you just said. I just literally, some of the guys that I, you know, I've got season tickets, but as you guys know, some of the boys that I go down with, they're slating Dele.
Really?
Are you serious? Mm. Are you serious? So, can I just tell you a quick little story? So, we're at Wembley. Quick one, right? So, we're at Wembley and having a couple of beers before the match for Real Madrid. And Dele Alli come up, we're having this conversation around in the pub. And basically, Dele's getting an absolute slating. So, I turned around and said, right, I'm going to have a look at who's the top goal scorer so far? Obviously, Harry Kane. More assists, more goals, more important goals. All the stuff that Jason said. Dele Alli, Dele Alli, Dele Alli, Dele Alli. It's unbelievable. I said, let's go stick a bet on Dele scoring the first goal against Real Madrid. So we did. We stuck a £35 bet on Dele Alli scoring the first goal. And what happened, boys? He scored the first goal. Yeah. So it just goes to show you know, it's dross. I mean, I was making a flippant comment about the super agent thing because that's what you see.
No, of course,
yeah. And I was messing around. You know, the reality is he doesn't think like that. He goes out and plays football. I think for him, he's reached such a level so early on that it's very, very difficult to maintain that. And I'm not saying he's one season wonder, because all of the stuff that he's done, if you check his stats at the beginning of last season compared to the stats at the beginning of this season, even though we think he's poor or he's playing not very well this year, I think his stats actually still stack up. And for me, that says it all.
Do you know what the problem is, Lee? And you made a great point there about, you know, how far he's come. I think the issue we've got as fans sometimes being Spurs is that because players set the expectation, because of the improvement of players that set the expectation so high, I think, Lee, we have a problem as fans being able to manage our own expectations. Is that a fair point, do you think, at times?
I think it is a fair point. I think, you know, I think coming back to the Arsenal game specifically on Saturday, I think that's what it was. It was managing expectations. All of a sudden, we've gone from... Guys, let's put into perspective, right? We haven't won away at the Emirates once in 26 attempts.
Yep.
And you referenced it earlier, Tom. November 2010, I was in the Bahamas. It was great. But the reality is we've won. That was the only time we've ever won at the Emirates in 26 attempts. So it's a really tough place to go for Tottenham. And all of a sudden, you know, we're expecting to go down fresh and 4-5-0. I mean...
That's why it was so uncomfortable, I think. All the press and the build-up. And you know, I think the bookies know, and they didn't. They had Arsenal as favourites. All of them had Arsenal as favourites, no matter what the press said.
Yeah, they did actually. Yeah.
And you know, they knew that, and like that's why I just felt so uneasy about the whole.
Wasn't it? It was an
uncomfortable
thing. I mean, I think any general Spurs fans going into the game, I can't believe really there was an almost level of certainty coming over to you, Jace, that we were going to get a result, because any Spurs fan knows, listen, you know, real Spurs fans know that's always going to be such a tough place to go to. You know, no matter what team they've got or we've got, you would normally think they're going to be up for it, especially, Jace, when, you know, they haven't won this fixture over at their place in the last three seasons.
Yeah, but I think if we'd have gone there with a fully fit Tottenham playing as we did in the Madrid games and against Liverpool games and that, I think even if you'd have had a really up for it Arsenal and that, I think we could have gone there and won this year. And I think we would have shown that quality. But to do it, you've got to take 11 fully fit players that can work their socks off to do it. Because you're right, you're not going to go there and win 3 or 4-0. I mean, you might go there and win 2-0 or 2-1 or something like that. But to do that, which in fairness, you know, probably like most away games, you can't carry any bodies. And on Saturday, we were carrying 4 or 5 players. And so then it's an impossible task to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just quickly on that, I mean, again, going back to last season, We rocked up there in November. Toe Ball of the World got injured about a week before the game or 2 weeks before the game. He was out. We drafted in Kevin Vimmer, if you guys remember, played three at the back,
yep.
Which for the first time
he's got a good goal,
played on the right of a three that day. Kevin Vimmer, he scored an own goal and then came equalised with a penalty. Why am I mentioning this? The point is that last year we didn't lose. You know what I mean? Like, we had that resilience because, Jace makes a point, we had a fit team. We had guys out there that were fit.
Yeah.
Can I just say as well, what I also found what I always find interesting is whenever the press are kind of never mentioning Spurs in a positive light, the whole of Tottenham Twitter is quick to jump on them and say, like, oh, God, you never bloody mention Spurs in the same breath as, like, any of these other big teams going for the title and everything. And then, the 1 week that we seem to be, praised to high heaven and, the whole talk of the power shift and whatnot, and it all comes crumbling back down again. I'd much rather we did just kind of tick along under that radar and just quietly win games and hang around near the top and then see where that takes us.
Lee, I want to come round to you. So, after the game, there's been a few mumblings over Twitter. I mean, I'm going to read you out, Lee, a tweet from Gary Lineker, who says,
yeah.
Big gameitis again for Spurs thus far. For all their progress under Pochettino, the lack of victories over the big teams is alarming. Now, before you answer, Lee, I'm going to quickly play Pochettino's reaction to his response about the league form away against the top six this season. And his thoughts.
You struggle against the big six, if you like, away from home. Why do you think that is?
I think I don't see that we struggle away from home. I think we are in the same situation that everyone. For Arsenal, it was difficult 2 weeks ago to play against Manchester City in City. For Manchester, it was difficult to play against Chelsea on Chelsea. Always has a little bit advantage who play at home. I think, but it's not only Tottenham struggle to compete with the big size and away from home. Eh?
Do you think that's a step that you need to make to maybe make that next step towards being genuine?
Yeah, we need many things. We need to win trophy. We need to build a good a new stadium. We need to build a good squad. We need to build players, young player. Yes, I think that is all in our dev. No.
So Lee, very quick, if I tell you that his record at the moment, so if we look at his victories in big games since his arrival at Spurs, it stands that he's got 1 win against Madrid, 3 against City, 2 against Chelsea, 2 against Man United, 2 against Arsenal, 1 against Dortmund, 1 against Liverpool. I think where I'm going with this, Lee, is asking you, is it slightly harshly the criticism against Poch in terms of he doesn't win against the big teams all the time?
Yeah, I think it's harsh. I think, again, we're building something. Pochettino also talks about all the time about the philosophy and the project that we've got going on at Tottenham. I think everyone can see where we are going as a club and as a team. And I think that's indicative of that. You know, we have to be able to build up to these things in order to get over the line in some big games. I mean, you can't call us chokers when you go to Real Madrid and get a 1-1 draw at Bernabeu. And then come back and play him off the park, essentially, at Wembley.
In the space of 2 weeks, Lee, as well, in the space of a fortnight.
Exactly. And by the way, we can't win at Wembley, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that one in there.
Yeah, I'll bet that.
We can't do that. So the reality is, you know, teams grow and become brilliant when people are throwing hurdles at them and we have to keep getting over them hurdles. Look, our record away against the big teams isn't brilliant, but it will only take one or two results, like the Real Madrid for a result or so on and so forth, to get that confidence and belief that we can go and do that. And I know I keep harping on about it, but we are the youngest side in the Premier League, and we are learning. You know, Pochettino is doing this with raw talent, and we're getting that experience as we go. And I'm sure that it'll turn. I'm sure that it will.
Is the argument, Lee, very quickly, now you said about we're learning. How much more learning time have we got, Lee? I think that's everyone's biggest concern. With the current squad keeping these players, how much more learning time are we going to keep using that phrase? How long can we keep saying that for, do you think, Lee?
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant question, to be honest. And personally, that's the challenge. Mm. You know, because I'm getting a little bit fed up with every time we play well, somebody turning around on TV or on Twitter or on social media, what, saying, oh, we're going to lose this player, we're going to lose that player. You know, you don't hear that about, look, Man United played well and Lukaku ain't going to Real Madrid in, like, you know, next week or whatever. So I'm a bit fed up with that. I do think that is the club's challenge, and I think it's been well documented around the salary brackets and the pay structure and so on and so forth, that it was a challenge of keeping players. And I suppose notoriously, that's another challenge for us to go over, is because notoriously in the past, we have sold our best players. You know, the Berbatovs have come and gone, and Carrick come and gone, and Modric come and gone, and Bale come and gone. So we have had that
Michael
before.
Brown as well.
Michael Brown.
Oh, Michael Brown, of course,
How can we forget that?
So I think, you know, there is challenges in the foundations and the philosophy and the project that he's building there, along with Daniel Levy as well. I have to say, I have to give him a mention because I think he's amazing as well. You know, it is about keeping them players together. And it's going to be a challenge, Ricky. I don't know the answer to the question.
Yeah.
It's certainly not just throw a load of money at Danny Rose to keep him or whoever else to keep him.
That's going to happen. I'm going to bring on to Danny Rose shortly, because I remember you giving us an analogy about a year ago, and we had you on a different show, about Kyle Walker, and you stressed the importance about keeping him. And it seems that, you know, I don't want to kind of, you know, spark off anything here. We may be in the same situation about Danny Rose. We'll have to wait and see. I'm going to come on to you shortly about that, Lee. But bringing you in first, Jace. The record against the top six, if we look at the start of the 2015-2016 season, when arguably would say this is where Tottenham started to compete, Liverpool have taken 37 points against the top six rivals, Chelsea 34, then Spurs are third on that list with 30. You know, and you've got Man United, Man City, Arsenal all below us. So, listen, Jace, there's no question our record against the top six needs improving, but it isn't as bad, Jace, as some people make out, is it?
What? Well, you can't deny that it's one win out of 17 away from home.
No, of course you can't.
I think that's the specific problem. It's away from home, not at home. But I think there's three analogies I'd compare it to. Pochettino's won one of the last 17 against the top six. Jose Mourinho's won two of his last 17 against the top six.
Very telling.
So nobody questions Mourinho's mentality or anything like that. That's the first thing. The second thing is, at home, Tottenham have lost two of our last 16 against the top six. So, you know, are all those teams that come to Tottenham bottle jobs and suffering mental problems when they play us?
Yes,
because otherwise, why haven't eight of them come to Tottenham and won? And the third thing is, since Pochettino took over, there's been 101 fixtures between the top six, of which only 19 have been won by the away side.
It's a great start.
So, yeah, 1 of 17 is not good enough, and I'm not denying that. But none of the others have won 9 or 10 of them. You know, Chelsea have won 4, Manchester City have won 4, and Man United have won 4. And, you know, if you look at it, 19 out of 101, that's a fifth. So from 17 games, we should now have won 3 out of 17. And 3 out of 17 would sound a terrible figure, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
Let's be fair about it, if you'd won 3. But that would actually put you on average with the rest. I mean, Arsenal have won 1 of their last 18. So, you know, none of those sides are going away picking up 7 or 8 wins from those games. Nice. Because they're good sides.
Jace, and Tom and Ricky obviously as well, but just to interact with you quickly if I can, do you think titles won against your rivals?
I think they're
won against the other teams.
You look at Chelsea
last year, Tom. They lost at Arsenal, they lost at Tottenham, they lost at Old Trafford, they drew at Liverpool. They picked up one point from those four games. They won at Man City.
Tom, what do you think about that? Very quickly, let's get Tom in on this. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, agreed. I mean, I think, yeah, they're not nice stats to see. But, you know, I don't want to hark back to glory days of George Graham, but I remember the 2000-2001 season going away from home every other week, and we saw some of the worst football I've ever seen a Tottenham Hotspur team play every week. And I think it culminated in Sergei Rebrov getting a late winner at City in February. That was our first win away from home that season, and that was a scabby 1-0 win. We are being treated to some brilliant football on our travels in recent years, and we're not getting, obviously, we're not getting the breaks against the big teams away, but you know, that's the City 3-2-1 a couple of years ago, Ericsson in the last few minutes was just glorious. And we're Spurs. We're used to having fleeting moments like that, and perhaps not on a regular basis. But you know, I think away from home, we're immeasurably better than we have been in recent years. And you know, we're on an upward curve, and hopefully we'll start picking up more points at the so-called Sky Six, whatever it is now.
I think the slight problem, Rick. Mm. I think the slight problem with playing the top six, which is the noticeable difference. We haven't kept a clean sheet in any of those 17 games. Mm. And if you go to those top six sides and can't keep a clean sheet, it's going to be hard to win games. And you know, you look at that, and Manchester United have kept 5 clean sheets, and City have kept 5 clean sheets. I think Chelsea have kept 6 clean sheets. And that's why they've been able to get... They can go and win the odd one of those games 1-0. We can't do that because we don't keep that clean sheet. No. So it's not so much the lack of wins, it's the lack of... If you can keep a clean sheet, I'm sure we'll win some of those games.
Yeah.
That's another brilliant point, I have to say. I didn't think of it like that before. Again, Mourinho thinks in that way. Again, I don't want to have Bram Mourinho down at White Hart Lane anytime soon, boys. No. Don't get me wrong. But,
or Wembley for that matter.
Yeah, he does park the bus in the big games. He got an absolute caning for it going to Liverpool.
He did, yeah.
When we went up there and he beat us 1-0, and you know that stupid flick on. He kept a clean sheet. He goes into them games with a mentality of we're not going to lose. And then if they can nick one or whatever, then that's probably where them stats come from. But then Mourinho goes into the lesser games, with respect to the lower placed teams, with the fact that they're going to go and get a result and beat teams. And maybe we're falling a little bit into the trap, or we need to learn from where Arsenal have been, where Arsenal just go out and play the same way every single week, and that's where their downfall's been over the last kind of 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, Lee, very quickly, just got to throw in a couple of questions. Where do you think, Lee, the mentality needs to change for these type of games, away from the top six and the big cup games? That's from Life of Ty. Very quickly, have you got a quick answer to that one? Or is it just...
I think it's a period of time. You know, it's a confidence thing of a period of time. Mm. Beating Real Madrid, for example, that's gonna elevate that even further. You know the whole Wembley hoodoo. Again, we've got a game coming up tonight against Dortmund.
Yep.
You know, going away to Dortmund and beating them, you know, that's going to allow us to give that mentality of beating these bigger teams. But I don't know if anyone else got anything to add. I just think it's a time thing. It is an experience.
Yeah, Tom, very quickly, have you got anything to add on that question? Do you think what mentality needs to change, Tom, very quickly on that?
You know, I think it's a fan mentality as much as a player mentality in some ways. I think some of these games, like, we do just go into them not thinking. If it's an FA Cup semi-final or a League Cup final lately, I've never felt confident going into it, no. Mainly probably because we're playing Chelsea. But, you know, if the fans aren't feeling confident or I'm not feeling confident, then, you know, are the players feeling it? Does the pressure get to them?
Yeah.
And, you know, you do wonder if we do just lack that certain little spark or certain little bit of belief to kind of drag ourselves along over the line in games like that. But, you know, I mean, after the Real Madrid game, everyone was saying, you know, we can win the Champions League. We've beaten one of the best teams in Europe. We can do, yeah, we can get there. We can get to the final, but yeah, we can beat anyone on our day. And that's true. We really can. But I do sometimes think when the stakes are really high, at the business end of a tournament, or it does seem to affect certain players or the team as a whole, and that's the critical thing we've got to hopefully see our club address in the coming years.
Yeah, I'm thinking we will. I mean, like Lee says, it is a period of time. I mean, Jace, very quickly, we are running out of time actually. Until that time, I want to bring on to Danny Rose, because it's been such a turn of events over the last 24-48 hours. So just to kind of tell you, as we stand now, as you guys are building up for Dortmund tonight, so Danny Rose was left out of the team on Saturday. He wasn't injured, didn't travel with the squad, and was training with players not involved in the game. That's what Maurizio told us. Now, Rose was understood to be fuming about the decision to leave him out of the game on Saturday. This is Pochettino's words after the game about Danny Rose, and I'm going to bring Jason in just after you hear this.
Was Danny Rose fit to play today?
He was training today.
Training.
Yes, yes.
What was your thinking behind not selecting him?
Like Lamela, after nearly one year, they need to build their fitness. No?
I mean, he obviously played recently, and if he's fit, so he's he's a bit strange, thinks that he's...
No, no, it's strange. It's strange when a player that is fit, you know, and play regular, and but when you are 10 months, 11 months out, and then you start to play, sometimes the decision are better training and to prepare for the next game rather to be on the bench and maybe not play and wasting time, because it's not the same when you need to prepare the game and you need to training, and but sometimes they need different type of training to get fit and build this the fitness, and that is what happened with him.
Has he reacted Take two badly? More. Has he reacted badly to not being in the starting 11?
Sorry?
Has Danny Rose reacted badly to not being picked today?
I don't understand.
Que sea reclinado mal por haber sido seleccionado.
Why? Why? Reacted badly. For what? No. For...
It just seems odd that he's not here. That he's not even on the bench. But you're saying it's just got a different training regime at the moment.
Like Lamela was playing with under 23. What happened? We focus on the game that today, that I am so disappointed about the game.
No, I understand that.
I don't understand your question, sorry.
Okay.
So Jace, very quickly, Pochettino is of the mentality that, look, from Danny Rose's perspective, you know, he wasn't ready for the game. He has to rebuild his fitness. Apparently he's going to be involved tonight, Jace, what we hear. You know, he's going to be in the squad. Wherever he starts, that's another question. Where do you stand, Jace, on Danny Rose? Because Twitter is volatile, divided, you name it what you want to. But where do you stand on Danny Rose, Jace? And does he have a Tottenham future?
Well, I think you know my views on Danny Rose. I haven't had much support for him since the outburst in August. I thought it was a despicable thing to do. Let's not forget, he went to that newspaper voluntarily.
Yeah.
And so I think whilst it's the Sun newspaper, obviously, and people say, oh, I don't believe it because it's written in the Sun, we know he has a relationship with that newspaper. And I'm sure those journalists have continued to speak to him. So I think there probably is a degree of truth in those rumours. But then,
it depends
in which sense he's fuming, doesn't it? If he was really angry that he's not playing, that in itself shouldn't be a problem, that you're really angry you're not playing. It's whether you're really angry and then take it out and disrupt other people that are trying to prepare for the game. So, you know, if you've gone back into the dressing room, kicked the door yourself, sat there with a sulk on, then, you know, you can partly understand that if you're missing a big game. But, I mean, my only point with it is that the Danny Rose that people are remembering is the 2016 Danny Rose. We haven't seen that yet. You know, the 2017 Ben Davies is a hell of a lot better than the current 2017 Danny Rose. And therefore, Ben Davies had to play that game for me. Simple as that.
Agree.
We haven't seen Danny Rose from 2016 this season yet, have we? We've seen him play two games.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Danny Rose keeps... To my mind, I've said it all along, Danny Rose should be trying to get himself fully fit to face Manchester City on December the 16th. And that, to me, is... always his target game more than the Arsenal game. And if he gets himself fully fit and we chose Ben Davies at Manchester City, then I can understand there's a deeper problem. But he's not fit. It's as simple as that. You've got a Dortmund game that, in the grand scheme of it, doesn't matter too much. And therefore, you're playing him in that game at the moment. It's as simple as that. So it was an easy decision for me. But, you know, I haven't been... Obviously, I'm not in London and haven't seen quite the fallout from it all. But... You know, I think we will see Danny Rose leave. I'm not so sure he'll go in January, because the one thing that we've got in our advantage to keeping him in January, if we want to keep him in January, is that if he wants to play Champions League football, he has to stay at Tottenham.
Yeah.
Because he's cup tied now. So, you know, if he goes to Manchester United or Manchester City, he won't be playing Champions League for the rest of the season. So, you know, that might be an advantage to you keeping him. But it's a question for me of do we want to keep him rather than does he want to stay?
Yeah, I mean, Lee, bringing you in, we had you on a different show, Lee, about a year ago. And I remember you saying at the time when Kyle Walker was, you know, there was reports of him being unhappy and, you know, that turned out to be true, that you were quite adamant that, look, we have to make a statement and try and keep our best players. With Danny Rose, Lee, what's your take on this situation? Is he a player, Lee, that we could afford to let go if we are going to get in a suitable replacement? Or again, Lee, are we setting a precedent where we're letting him go? We let Walker go, you know, the following, you know, the summer before. Are we setting a dangerous precedent here, Lee? What do you think?
I think it's interesting. It's an interesting comparison. Again, I agree with what Jay said. I'm agree with Jay all night. So
yeah,
that's
I know
fantastic.
You are. No, but I do. Don't I make do a habit of it, Lee. For God's sake, don't make a habit.
No, but I agree because there's not a chance that Danny Rose should have started that game. I think Ben Davis has been outstanding since he's come in for Danny Rose. And actually, on that different show that I was on a year ago, I actually did say to you, my dark horse is Ben Davis. Mm. When we talked about dark horses in the side, and. So to answer your question, should we let him go? Well, no, I still don't think we should let Carl Walker go because of the same fact. All of a sudden, it starts to set a precedent. Having said that, you can't. I don't think you should be keeping players that don't want to be at the club. And you know, it was quite apparent that Carl Walker went to see Pochettino and said, "Boss, my head is not in this team anymore. Mm. I'm not in this project." And if that happens, then you know that'd be passed on to Daniel Levy, and he'd go and do the best commercial deal for the club and what's right for the club. I think that situation is happening right now with Danny Rose. I think it's quite an easy thing to say what I'm about to say with the whole Luke Shaw situation, but you know, there is a Luke Shaw there that could come in with a Danny Rose plus money swap with Manchester United. I think it probably makes us stronger in that way as well. You know, Trippier has done a fantastic job on the right hand side with a replacement for Walker, and I think that's, you know, if he's spitting his dummy out, for example, lads, because he can't get in the side after being injured since January, and seeing Ben Davis play, how fantastic that is. If he's spitting his dummy out on that, then you know there's probably only one way for him, and I think Poch has already shown that he's happy to show people the door. A little bit Ferguson-like, if I'm honest.
Isn't it?
Like,
yeah, once you cross him, Lee, you make a great point. Once you cross him, there normally isn't a way back.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. You know, Yap Stam springs to mind. David Beckham springs to mind. You know, with Fergie, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I'm not sure. I like Danny Rose. Don't get me wrong, I do. I think he's one of our, like Jay said, 2016, he's a brilliant player for us. If he can get back to that level and he wants to play for us, then great. But yeah. You know, he's got the same agent as Carl Walker, so you know.
This is it, isn't it?
It's such probably enough said.
Yeah, I mean, Tom, bringing you in very quickly. We are going to try and cram in a Dortmund preview as well, guys. Tom, very quickly, Danny Rose, what's your take on the current situation of this guy? Could start tonight, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as Lee said, I mean, I think if he is going to kick up a stink, you know, the day of the biggest game of our season so far, because he's, I mean, it's more. Something not being in the squad, I suppose. But if he's not in the team ahead of Ben Davis, who's had a fabulous year, and he started the season so well, he's added goals to his game, he's getting assists, and you know, you really want to see unity, and you want to see, especially as I say, on the day of the weekend of the away game at the Gooners, you want to know there's a sense of togetherness around that team. And if he's kicking off, you know, whether it's internal only or not, it's still going to have an impact on the team. And you know, to just expect to walk into that team ahead of Ben Davis, having been out for so long, when he has done what he's done with, you know, with that rag, then it's just, you know, it leaves a bit of taste in the mouth. And you know, the one of the best things about Spurs over the last couple of years has been that kind of sense of camaraderie and togetherness around these guys. And to read and hear about this kind of stuff just leaves a bit of a bad taste in the mouth, and you know, as the guys have been saying, it wouldn't surprise me to see him go. Like I say, probably not January, but I don't think we'll be seeing him at the new White Hart Lane. And you know, it's a shame, but it wouldn't be the end of the world.
No, such a shame how this guy's career. You make that point there, Tom. Harriet has just kind of dwindled away. I mean, listen, things might change. You know, the season with Tottenham, you never know what can or can't happen. Interesting to see what we're going to do. Guys, we're going to go for a very, very quick break. And then after that, we're going to cram in a Dortmund preview.
Hello, and welcome to Loan Watch, a weekly update on our players out on loan. Starting in the Sky Bet Championship this week, fresh from his international debut for the United States against Portugal, Cameron Carter-Vickers played the full game as Sheffield United returned to the top of the Championship table with a 3-1 win away at Burton Albion. Cameron set up United's second goal, which was scored by Billy Sharp. Josh Onuma played 86 minutes of Villa's 2-1 win away at Queen's Park Rangers, which keeps Aston Villa in fifth place in the Championship table. In League One, Connor Ogilvie has played twice for Gillingham since I last spoke to you. The first was a 1-1 draw at home to Bury, while the second was an impressive 1-0 away victory at Walsall. Gillingham are now 20th in the League One table. Finally, in Turkey, Vincent Janssen played 79 minutes of Fenerbahce's 4-1 home win over Sivasspor. Vincent actually set up the second of three goals today, which were scored by ex-Spurs striker Roberto Soldado. The win keeps Fenerbahce in fifth place in the Turkish league. That's it for this week's edition of Lone Watch. Speak to you next week, and come on you Spurs.
Jay, let's look ahead then to Dortmund tonight. So just a reminder on this one, there's been a couple of questions asked about Eric Lamela. We had a few in over the weekend. So Eric Lamela is not registered to play this game tonight. Just to make it clear, he did feature for the Spurs under-23s team on Saturday. As I understand, he played an hour of that game, registered a shot on target, and Pochettino has actually also said last night that the player is not going to feature for the next two or three weeks. There is going to be no imminent return of Lamela. He's going to ease him back in gradually. Jace, firstly on Lamela, are you happy that we know the bloke's alive at least?
Well, that's all you can say, is that he's alive.
Oh, dear.
But, you know, it's going to be another 3 weeks before he's obviously on the substitutes bench. And you kind of, I've almost drawn a line under it and think, if he plays for us again, he does. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. You know, we've been without him for over a year. So, you know, it doesn't feel like it's a loss anymore, if you see what I mean.
No, I mean, going into tonight very quickly, I will get the chaps' thoughts on Lamela as well, but Jay, sticking with you. Dortmund, they lost 2-1 at the weekend to Stuttgart domestically. I mean, going into tonight, they're going to have Patrick Aubameyang back in the team. He is back, unfortunately. He was ruled out the weekend due to disciplinary issues. I mean, Jace, we want to win this, don't we, this game tonight? We want to win this.
Is Aubameyang there, Danny Rose, then?
Well, who knows? God, that's another debate we're going to kick off. Let's try and avoid it, Jace.
It'd be a good clash then, wouldn't it?
Oh, dear.
Perhaps they'll swap shirts at the end of the game, those two, tomorrow.
Dear, oh, dear. Jace, but very tough game, isn't it? We want to win it, don't we?
Well, in many ways, it doesn't matter because, you know, you win the Apoel game, you top the group. So you're stuck between that. If we've got injuries, it's not a must-win game.
He's taking a full team
Do you rest players?
Well, Harry Kane's gone out.
Yeah, but
you know, Dele Alli's out there.
You know, for me, I'd sooner see Llorente play because I think Llorente needs game time as much as anything, and I think you don't want to risk Kane in a game that actually doesn't matter. But then the flip side of that is, on the back of a derby defeat, particularly the manner of it, you don't want to suffer back-to-back defeats, and certainly don't want a heavy defeat. So it's a little bit stuck between the two, isn't it? I mean, for me, I probably would leave one or two out. And maybe it's not such a bad thing to drop Dele for one game tomorrow and play Son in place of Dele. Because you're not dropping him out of a crucial game, but you're just sending him a message, look, come on, lift that form a little bit. So I might make a few changes tomorrow, but as I say, you don't want to go too far and end up getting beat out there and then you're suddenly on back-to-back defeats.
No, you don't. I mean, come around to you, Lee. What's your thoughts going into this one? And also, I have to ask you, Lee, what's your take on Eric Lamela? I mean, Poch did say additionally that natural aches and pains after 20 minutes of playing at the weekend, for him, really, it's more of a case that he's going to ease him in gently. Got any thoughts on it, Lee?
I think that's the right thing. I think, you know, when you've had an injury as bad as his, and it's been a problem around exactly what the injury is as well. You know, we know it's his hip, but exactly what it is, you know, mentally, it's going to have an issue. I mean, like, I'm not a professional footballer by a long chalk, but I have my cruciate ligament. I busted my cruciate ligament a few years ago, and mentally, in your head, to get back on the pitch and do them sorts of things, you know, it is quite tough. So I think, you know, that he's got to get his head right. And he's not going to be Lamela, I'm talking about, you know, himself. He's got to get his head right to be able to go into tackles and to be fully flowing. So I think, you know, easing him gently, I think, is the right thing. Probably for the first time on this podcast, I'm going to slightly disagree with Jace. I mean, I do agree with Jace having Llorente, and I would make some changes for this evening.
You would?
I'd also put Llorente in. But I disagree. I think Ali should play. Because I think what needs to happen, if you've got Danny Rose, if he's going to play, and say Serge Aurier down the right-hand side getting crosses in, that's what you need for Llorente. we need to play slightly differently. I don't know if you guys agree.
No, I agree.
When,
yeah, we do.
When Llorente's on the pitch, we need to play differently to when Kane's on the pitch. Because Llorente, a little bit like the Janssen concrete boots, you don't run around as much. But equally, I do agree that he needs to have some game time. The reason why I play Ali is because I want Ali to run in behind him. So therefore, if he's got a cross coming in and he's got to someone to take that second ball, could be Ali running in and behind, and I think that could work quite well. So, but again, I would make a couple of changes definitely. It's a Champions League away game to Dortmund, who are amazing. No, definitely make a couple of changes and utilise the squad.
Sonny's got a really good record against them, though, hasn't he?
Oh, he has. Yeah, he's got a very good record.
Sonny, it was Sonny that was running in and behind them at Wembley when Dele was suspended. Right. So, I think Sonny deserves his place tomorrow, and it's whether you go four at the back, you put Dier into midfield, and you play 4-2-3-1, and you get Sonny in the team that way. But I definitely want to see Sonny in that team tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I go with that, and I think that was one of our downfalls on coming back to a point that Tom made ages ago on the Arsenal game. You know, we do miss a Wanyama. I think it's a question from one of the guys. Wanyama on the dying midfield. Mm. That's what we should have done. Poch, in hindsight, should have pushed Dier into midfield and gone to a back four and had Vertonghen and Sanchez and Davis and Trippier as a back four. That could have sorted out some of our problems on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, let's bring you in, Tom, on this one for tonight. Listen, it's still a big, big game. I mean, Tom, very quickly, what's your thoughts going into tonight? Would you tinker with the team?
Yeah, I would. I would. Definitely play Llorente. We're a draw and we're through. As the guy said, even if we lose, we just need to win. A result against Apoel will see us through as well. But I just think, like I say, it's an away game in the Champions League. It's at Dortmund. We didn't put up a fight last time we went there. It'd be nice to go over there and put on a real show. And the travelling support is always amazing. And you just want to see them put on a good show as well. I think. Yeah, as Lee was saying, I think it would be great to see Dele Alli play in that game, because Llorente's he's never really looking like a threat, but his second ball, the second ball that he's always creating throughout games. He's done a few nice touches with his feet, but he is creating chances for people, and I think it could well be that kind of game where to have Dele Alli running in after crosses from the wings, it could be made for him just to get a bit more confidence under his belt again after this needless slating he's been having after the last couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, Tom, I'm going to push you for a prediction tonight. What would you give me?
1-1.
1-1. Okay, score draw. Lee, very quickly, prediction for tonight. What would you go for?
2-2.
2-2. God, we've got draws across the board here. Jace, you going to give us a bit more positive? What do you think?
I'm not going to give you one, mate. I'm not going to make one tonight. Because you have to know the team lineup and things like that. It's taking a real stab, isn't it? Mm. We made those great predictions for Arsenal, not knowing that we'd have quite the problems that we do. So I think I can see it being a draw tomorrow. Dortmund need something, don't they, to make sure that they go to Europa League. I think they got to get a result from the game. So they're probably looking at Tottenham at home being probably a bit easier to do that against the Real Madrid away. So, and I think if we do mix and match the team, then a draw won't be such a disastrous result for us. Okay. If we took a fully fit team there and it really mattered, I think we could go there and win, but we're not in that scenario.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a very, very tough game tonight. I mean, it's interesting to see what team we do go out there with. I mean, fingers crossed we can bounce back with a win. Still an important game. Guys, well, firstly, let me just say, Tom, real pleasure having you on tonight and making your debut. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ricky. Been a pleasure. Cheers for having me on.
Hopefully we'll get you back on, Tom, in a bit more better spirits. We've tried our best.
Yeah.
Lee, thanks for giving us the therapy for tonight. I hope we'll get you back on at some point.
Cheers, lads. Cheers, Tom. Cheers, Jace.
Cheers, Lee.
Honestly, cheers, mate.
Been a pleasure. And Jace, thank you as always for coming on and giving us your time. Fingers crossed, guys, we are going to be back doing a review of the Dortmund game, talking about hopefully 3 points. Very quickly, guys, just want to thank you again so much for all of your questions this week. I'm sorry we haven't got round to them all. Jason, as always, will be answering every single one of your questions. They will be going live on our Twitter feed when this podcast is out, so check those out. And as always, guys, come on, you Spurs.
Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.